John chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading with verse 25 down through verse 30. John chapter 5, verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. He hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today for your precious word. I thank you for the singing and the music and the fellowship. I thank you for this family that's come together today to hear your word. I just hope, dear Lord, that all that are here and all the ears that are listening, that they know you as their personal Savior. I hope that they have someday in the past that they have trusted in you, called upon you for salvation, saying, Lord, I know I'm lost. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need to be saved. Please save me. If those words have never been said, if they have never come by faith to you, dear Lord, I ask today that be the day. Today is the day of salvation. So please, that we tarry not one more day. I just ask, dear Lord, that you'll strengthen our hearts and you'll show us your way and will, and you'll grow believers, and you'll save the lost today through your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This 25th verse, again, verily, verily, always brings us an alert. It brings us to our attention. We need to listen clearly, as if there is a part of the Word of God that is not important. This is of greater importance, and so we need to look at these words so carefully and see that we pore over them and receive the full blessing that God has for us. And it says, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. What precious words. When the dead. Every one of us at some point in time in our life was dead to the voice of God. We were dead because we had sin, and the sin in our lives, dead to the trespasses, and God comes to save us. He speaks words, and when those words are told and directed and powered by the Holy Spirit, these dead ears have a chance to hear. And that's when we have an opportunity to respond and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so the time is now, because you see, he is here. He was walking upon the earth, and he says, now. There is not a greater time, and it will increase as we come to the time of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all the world. And we need to understand that the calling of the Holy Spirit is a calling for us to respond and come by faith to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, that we hear with the heart. We hear in faith, believing. Today, in this world, there are so many that are dead in their trespasses and sins. They choose not to hear. And if they would look to the Word of God and see what's going on with the nation of Israel, see what's going on coming from Gaza and coming from Lebanon, and how that tiny little nation, how they could ever survive would help you to realize, and watching the promises that were made and being fulfilled as we live, watching the power of God, knowing the Word of God is always true. And the more you study the Word of God, and the more you look to the Old Testament, and you see all these promises that have been fulfilled, all the promises God made, sometimes 1,000 years before, sometimes 400 years before. But when God says it, He says it as if it's already done. And it's the same thing with our salvation. When He says, you believe and I'll save you, know that His Word is true and we don't have to question it. We don't have to doubt it. We have so much proof in the Word of God. So please stand on the Word of God and know the Word of God. And it tells us here, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. It starts with Jesus. And again, it proceeds through days, years, and then days later after the crucifixion and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, as we find at Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit has come. But this hour, you know, our whole life is set upon time. Our whole life is set upon. We get up a certain time. We do certain things. We eat at certain times. Everything is set upon time. You have so much time to do this or so little time to do that. Every part of our life is set upon time. God does not. God's eternal. He has no beginning and He has no end. So time to God is nothing. The hour here has been almost 2,000 years long. Now that's an hour. 2,000 years. And it's still coming. But don't be without it. Don't question, don't doubt our Lord that He's not going to come back. Don't doubt our God that He is not going to judge as He says He's going to judge. The hour, again, has been 2,000 years long. But this hour, I believe, is about to come to an end. The hour is close at hand to be ended. This hour to the church, to you and I, this hour will come to a close with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. That's how this hour will close to you and me as believers. And so prepare for that time. Be excited, looking forward to that great day when that shout will come, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God will sound. And you know, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and you go back and read that from verse 13 through 18, what's going to take place. But that is going to be a glorious and a wonderful day. We find in the 26th and 27th verses, we continue because this is a review of a few weeks ago. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to His Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Jesus is the author of eternal life. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that believe Him, that obey Him. 1 John 5, 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son, the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is the Savior of the world, and Jesus is also the Judge of the world. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, God the Father is the Judge of all. But John chapter 5, verse 27 tells us that He gives the Son the authority to judge. You see, don't take one verse of Scripture. We need to take the Word of God from cover to cover. Because we see and we find who is the Creator, who is the Savior, and who is the Judge. This judgment, justice, will prevail. We wonder in this world that we live in, when it seems that all you have to have is money, and money can buy you anything. It can buy you If you have murdered someone, it can buy your way out. If you have enough money to buy the right attorney, to buy the right jury, and I'm not sure you don't buy the judge, because by the time it's said and done, they walk with very little time in jail, very little cost to them other than all the attorneys and all the things. Money will buy everything. And it seems as though the justice today just doesn't come. It just seems like everything is so unfair. Well, understand, my friend, that justice will come and the proper right judgment will come, because our Lord and Savior is the judge and He will come. There are judgments to the lost, and there are judgments for the saved. And we're going to look at some verses of Scripture today. We're going to begin with Revelation chapter 6. And so please turn with me back to Revelation chapter 6. And as so often, I begin with one or two verses, and the longer I study it, the more I look at it, the further I back up to get more scripture verses to enjoy. So, Revelation chapter 6, we're going to begin with the 12th verse. Now, right above this is quite a saying, and I guess I'm going to go ahead and read that too. As we're in the tribulation period, let me give you into the right time area here. The tribulation, we're in the 7-year tribulation. And during that time, there are going to be so many Christians martyred. And there are so many, and God has placed them under this altar. They have died, they've went to heaven, but martyred Christians will have a special place in the heart of God, and He has placed them under this altar. Now, listen to hear what they have to say. Verse 9, "And when He had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, doth Thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" You see, they were impatient too. They were not only there, they're in the presence of God, they're in heaven, and yet they question, how long? God is a God of patience, and God wants every soul to be saved. And He awaits, and He waits, and He waits to give every opportunity for every person that's ever lived to be saved. There will be not one person that goes to the lake of fire that did not have a wonderful, clear opportunity of salvation. Not one. There's not one person that'll be in the lake of fire and they could say to a holy God, "I didn't know." But my friend, we need to be clear at telling it. Don't take for granted somebody else is going to say it. Don't take for granted that the creation is going to expose and show the plan of salvation unto a lost person. We need to be speakers and tell the people how to be saved, how much Jesus loves them, and what He has done for them. It's their choice. But don't think. And my family, when I go to heaven, it'll be a wonderful surprise. It'll be a wonderful surprise if I see some of my family members there. You see, they didn't tell me about Jesus. My grandpa didn't, and grandmother didn't get down and speak to me and tell me how to be saved. My parents didn't come to me when I was small or even older and tell me how to be saved. They didn't. So I don't have much hope of who's going to be there. But you know what? When I get there, and even to this day, I know God's a just God. And I know my family had an opportunity. It breaks your heart to think that they chose not to trust in a holy God. These here, they questioned, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, doth thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? We were standing for you, Lord Jesus, and they killed us. How long are you going to let them live?" That's the question that we have here. Verse 11, "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest just for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren, that they should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled." God knows there's going to be more that's going to die for the sake. But these witnesses are witnessing to these lost people desiring that they would be saved. God wants every opportunity for the lost to hear. And he knows these servants are going to have to suffer and die. Says there's some more to come. And when that's fulfilled, then it'll be over. So just take your rest. Now look at verse 12. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of the heaven fell upon the earth, even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Look at the list of men, and look at the list of folks in power that not only could not stand, but flee. I mean, they ran for their life, and they hid themselves, and then to show you their fear of a mighty God, they prayed, they wanted the rocks to fall on them, the rocks to crush them. They desired that over standing before this holy God. That's what they wanted. And look at the list again. Kings, great men, rich men, chief captains, mighty men, every bondman, every free man hid themselves. Every individual that did not know Jesus as their Savior feared the wrath of the Lamb. Feared the wrath of the Lamb. You know, John the Baptist said, "Here cometh the Lamb of God." And we know that the Scripture speaks so clearly of the Lord Jesus being the sacrificial Lamb. Well, look at the words here, the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. When's the last time that you pulled into somebody's residence and you saw a sign that says, "Beware of the Lamb"? You know, you see, "Beware of the dog." But don't beware of the Lamb. That doesn't make sense. A lamb is soft and a lamb is cuddly and a lamb is something that you hold and you love. The wrath of the Lamb. Well, God will bring perfect justice and judgment upon all the lost world. The world has picked up on the word Lamb because God loves you so much that he would not send anyone to hell. God is love. You see, they've went with the Lamb, with the cuddly and cute. That's who they think God is. And I believe that that's the reason God took those words and put them here and put those two words together, wrath and the Lamb. Because, yes, He is love, and, yes, He has a great love for all. But for those that do not choose Him, the wrath is equal to men of greatest power desiring that the rocks fall upon them to hide them, to protect them from the wrath to come. Can you imagine the fear? Have you ever been so scared? So scared that you wish something would fall down and collapse on you because you were fearful of what was to come? No, you were afraid that something was going to fall on you. That was the only fear, through a storm or something like that. Can you imagine being face to face with someone that brought so much fear upon you that you wanted that rocks to fall upon you? You wanted your house to collapse in on you and hide you from this power, this strength? That's the wrath of God. And every lost person will face God's wrath. Now, not every person is going to be here at this time, because this is during the tribulation period. So only those that, if God would come and we'd hear that shout that we talked about just a minute ago, and we hear the voice of the archangel and we hear the trump of God, and you and I are taken from here. Well, that's ushering in the first days of the tribulation. And so if that would happen in our lifetime, the folks that we know, many times folks that we love, that refuse Jesus Christ, they will walk right into this most horrible time in history, will be this 7 years. 3.5 years, you'll see this seemingly peace. The Antichrist will have the right words, and everybody will be calm, and there'll be a peace about it. But at the last 3.5 years, the Antichrist will come in his own power and his own way, and he is wicked and evil, and there'll be the most miserable time upon this earth ever. And this time of judgment, when the wrath comes, that's what we're going to see. The wrath is going to come, and this here is a time when our Lord comes, when our Savior comes. He's going to come as a judge, and the world is going to be so fearful. To kind of help maybe understand the Lamb and the wrath. The Lamb they've picked up on, snuggles and cuddly and warm and soft. The wrath they have ignored. But for you to understand the Lord Jesus Christ, when He rejected Israel, rejected Jerusalem, He wept. That gives us an understanding of, yes, justice, judgment, but love all at the same time. Let's look to Revelation chapter 20. This judgment or justice that we looked at first is something that's going to take place here upon earth. Now let's look at another judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. I'm in chapter 19, so if you weren't getting that. Chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Sea gave up the dead which were in them. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. judgment. Judgment. This judgment that we're looking at here is the great white throne judgment. And this is the judgment that's going to take place concerning those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Many believe that this is a general for both the saved and the lost. It is not. It is for the lost only. You see, you and I as believers, if you know Jesus Christ, we are not judged by our works. We will receive rewards concerning what we do, but salvation is not by works of any sort. And this judgment here is a judgment concerning where you're going to spend eternity. And this judgment is set upon works. And when it's set upon works, there is only one answer. And that answer is going to be an eternity in the lake of fire. Most churches build all of their everything upon works. Upon works. From the point of a requirement of baptism all the way to a continual service. And as long as you take the Lord's Supper, which we're going to have today, all these things, when they're all set into place, well, they're all set upon works. And as long as you continue to do those, well, God is a just God. God is a righteous God. And so every one of our family members, every one of our friends, every one that we know, they says, well, I believe God's a just God and a righteous God, and He'll judge what I do. And they are true about that statement. Because God will take every work that they have performed, every single one. He'll recognize that work, and He'll recognize that none is valid. None comes up to the point of salvation because it's all evil, wicked works without the Lord Jesus. And so families that we know and folks that we love that have worked so hard, served in a church all of their life, many times suffered and gave money and efforts and all these things, it's just going to be a waste. For what they're going to gain, they just as well have been drunks and spent all their life in a tavern. It's not going to gain them anything. They need Jesus. And we need to tell them about the Lord Jesus. This judgment is all about works. And no one is saved with their works. The most important words in this whole scripture is, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You must be born again. We must tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be born again. The next scripture verse that we're going to look at, but I'm going to wait till next week, and that is concerning the saved. You'll find it to be a little bit different. Because we're not talking about salvation. We're not talking about whether we do enough works after we're saved that we get to heaven, because you see, we serve a God that clearly and simply promises us salvation if we come by faith. That's over. That's finished. That's promised. And God's word is true. The rest will be a judgment of how we serve Him and what we do for Him after we're born again. So we'll begin with those verses of Scripture. If you would like to read ahead, please look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15, because that's where we're going to start. The wrath of the Lamb. Please, let's be in prayer for those that are lost. Let's talk to those that are lost. Let's realize that there is a judgment for them. Yes, we're saved. But how many folks do we know that aren't. Do we not believe there's a hell? Do we not believe there's a hell? If we did, we'd be telling. We'd be crying. We'd have broken hearts for these folks that we know, family members that we know. There will be justice. There will be judgment. As real as salvation is to us as believers, this judgment and this justice will come to those that are lost, only to find that their way was wrong. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you today that you've allowed us to come together. Each and every one that's here, I thank you for opening the doors of this church, for stirring the hearts of every one that come today. And help us, Father, not to miss being here. Help us to always come, always hear your words. Always come to fellowship with each other, to not only hear from you, but also to come to help those sisters and brothers that maybe need a helping hand. And family, we're family. We need to act like a family and help like a family, love like a family. Please, speak to our hearts, those that do not know you as their Savior. Don't let this day pass without them trusting in you, Lord Jesus. Help us to grow each day, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.